righteousness by grace, give grace to others. You criticize people the most because in criticizing people, you think you can hide your own inadequacy. By criticizing, you think you can hide the fact that you have failed yourself. They are the ones who speak about the failure of others, yet they fail the most. People come to church excited, serving the Lord, ready to be used by God. And somebody inside the church says, forget it, or you just, they come. Very soon you go less like Fele Lebo. You just, they come. And it's somebody inside the church. Somebody inside the church is telling somebody, if you want to marry, don't be doing all this Jesus girl. If you want to be rich, don't be every time you carry church for head. It's a person inside church that is telling people those things. There are people that the only thing they have to speak about church is who hurt them. How this person did this. How this person did that. And the end of the day, when they speak online, go and read the comments. You begin to say, people saying, that's why I know they go to church. That's why I know they go to church. That's why me, self, I know church people. They are hypocrites. Look at all those things. You have won souls for the devil. God said, go and be a witness to me. Go and preach the gospel. You have not preached. You've never won a soul. But your idea and your perspective about the church is what is chasing people away from church. Stop speaking ill of the church. If the church have issues, it's a family matter. It's what? Don't you people have family matter inside? A sensible child, does he expose the nakedness of his father outside? Does it mean we will not be real to ourselves? Does it mean we will not confront each other? Does it mean we will not forgive each other and repent where we have faults? But must we go outside and paint what God calls glorious? If you have nothing glorious to speak about your church and about the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep your mouth shut. Give him praise. Tell your neighbor, speak only glorious things of the city of God. Say, bless the church. Say, bless the people of God. Number two, build her stones. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Apostle Paul begins to look at the people of God, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a type of building, stones. Apostle Peter wrote to us by the Spirit, and he said, we as living stones. He calls us stones. Jesus being the chief cornerstone, are being built up into a spiritual house. That's who we are. Apostle Paul said, we are God's co-laborers. You are God's building. Build her stones. Invest in the growth of the people. Invest in the growth of the people of God. Psalms chapter 102, verse 13 to verse 16. Oh, one of my favorite scriptures. We already have these messages on Spotify, I believe so. And we worked on it late last year, right? A season of fearful favor. Lift your hands everywhere and declare, if you know what time it is, want to go, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time. Somebody say, it's our time to be favored. I don't know if you have the right neighbor, but if you do, turn to them and tell them, it's our time to be favored. Said the Lord is extravagant.
with his favor upon my life, I enjoy the fearful favors of the Lord. Say, I am favored, I am preferred, I am honored by the mercy of the Lord. If you are the one who I'm talking about, shout your loudest, amen.
But let's not stop there. Verse 14. What does verse 14 say? Read that to your neighbor. One, two, go. For your servants take pleasure in her. What's that, the stone? Somebody say, people. Say, we are living stones. Say, your servant takes pleasure in what? And show favor. People dust, people who are backsliding, the rings, people who are wounded, people who are trapped, they've come to the Lord, but they have not grown in knowledge. Witchcraft is still dealing with them. Sickness is still dealing with them. They are still having dreams and wake up and it's coming to pass. Even when they shout blood of Jesus, the devil is still harassing them. The just shall be delivered through knowledge. They have been delivered into Christ, but they have not grown to knowledge. Somebody has to favor the dust. There are rooms. People come to church wounded. They all dress up, but they are dressing serious wounds under their clothes. People are carrying real issues. People are facing real struggles. And there are people, what God has given you, what God has ministered to you, you have to give to others. Those who favor her dust. People that their focus is on building Zion. They take pleasure in her stones. A genuine man who understands what it means to be the servant of God. When you see a Christian fall, it's not the time to gossip. It's the time to cry in intercession. Father, the devil is a liar. This one is yours. We lay claim on his life. Even if his faith is down, we stand in the gap. Lord, you don't talk to another person so the person will know about. No, you talk to a prayer partner that you're going to fast with and pray. If you won't fast, don't talk. Because what you're doing is destroying another person. If you won't pray, don't talk. You report the faults and the failures of others. Let me tell you what you should be reminding yourself. When you finish, say, oh, thou minister of the devil. Because what you're doing is the ministry of the devil, the accuser. Oh, brethren. That's what you turned yourself into. Instead of being your brother's keeper, being an intercessor in the gap. Listen, if you will not pray, don't talk. Don't hear, don't talk. Verse 15. Let's read. Come on. One to go. Come on. Is it not as they built the temple? The glory of that temple, the news spread abroad. People were coming from different places. From Africa, from Ethiopia, from different parts of the world, different areas in Asia, to see the glory of the temple and the palaces. This glory that God bestowed on the city of David. When you have a church built up, say the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all their kings of the earth will fear the glory of God. Why? Because the church is a reflection of God's glory. When the church is not built up, they become a mockery to the name of God. When the church is built up, they become a reflection of God's glory. Say it here. Verse 16, read. One, two, go. For the Lord shall build
up Zion. It shall appear. Tell your neighbor, the Lord builds up Zion through us as his co-laborers. So how do you build up her stones? Write this down. Number one, favor her righteous cause. Anything that has to do with God's people and God's kingdom, whatever God has shown in the word, favor the righteous cause. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 35 verse 27, I want you to put it, 35 verse 27, says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Now look at that prophetically. Let them shout for joy who favor the cause of the Lord. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Not every prosperity pleases God. The prosperity that pleases God is the prosperity that fulfills his purpose. The prosperity that destroys a fool does not please God. The prosperity that makes a man proud and arrogant does not please God. The prosperity that makes a man backslide does not please God. It's the prosperity of not just children, servants. Servants are people on a mission serving the purpose of God. Preach the gospel to the whole world. That's God's mission. Disciple all nations. That's God's mission. God didn't call you to play music alone in the house, to sweep as sanctuary keeper in the house, to just act drama and dance in the house, to just do media and be projecting and carry camera in the house. When you're through, start with the department where you are. Is there a soul here that has not known God? From there, move beyond. Then when you move outside the church, be the light. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Disciple, get involved. There has to be believers who are new that are taking under your care. The little you know will not increase until you use it. In the kingdom, what you use multiplies. What you don't use, you lose. The reason you're growing more in Christ is because you're giving what he gives to you. What he tells you in the secret, shout on the rooftop. Freely you received, freely give. Don't look at everybody that comes to you as money. Know the distinction between business and ministry. And know when God wants you to enter ministry even while you're doing business. That sometimes God will bring clients to you, not because he just wants you to sell your market, not because he just wants you to get the contract, but because there is a demon he wants you to cast out. Because there is a life he wants you to change. And while you're on that business, that anointing is going to come upon you. And you deliver what God has anointed you to do. Somebody say, I'm here. If you are those who favor the righteous cause of God, lift your hand and say, I favor his righteous cause. Say, my prosperity prospers the purpose of God. If you believe that, shout your loudest, amen. Lebalakata. Secondly, how to build the house, the stones of God, is build the people of God. Build the people of God. And there are key things in building people. Number one is intercession. Standing in the gap and making supplications for the saints. Prayer. Learn to pray for one another. Learn to pray for your children and your spouses. Learn to pray for your relatives. Learn to pray for the people God has committed to you in the house of God.
your departmental people, your cell people, people in your church group, people under the fellowship, wherever group you belong to, learn to pray. Learn to receive the list of first timers, new converts, and pray. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, Apostle Paul was talking to the Galatians. He said, my little children, of whom I labor in birth again. It means I labored for you to get born again. Now you're born again, I'm laboring again. So Christ be formed in you. People come to maturity because somebody prayed them into it. Don't be a self-focused Christian. My life, my vision, my business, my family, my comfort. Who are you responsible for since you met Jesus? With all the investment every week, every month, every year that God has made in you, who else is blessed because of you? Somebody prayed for you to be here. Who else are you praying for? This team must not die in your hands. Are you hearing me? Then he moves to caring. Before you talk to people and tell them what you know, it's important for you to care for them and let them know how much you care. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Anybody can teach, but not anybody can love. Genuinely be interested in people. The purpose of teaching is not to order people, manipulate people, control people. Tell them. Love people genuinely. Care for people. You're not El Shaddai, but according to the grace God has given you, within the grace per time, whatever and however you can offer help. Sometimes you're not with money, but you're with a kind word. Sometimes you're not with cash, but there is a little property that you're not using you can give out just to sell somebody I care. Sometimes it's just showing up when somebody is going through anything. Don't tell him God knows. Just keep quiet. If he cries, cries with him. Just that your presence is caring enough. You notice most people who always feel hurt. He was sick, nobody visited him. He was this, nobody came. They lost their father, nobody called. Most of those people are people who have been in church doing nothing for anybody. And God cannot be mocked. Whatever seed. So someone said, Pastor, I was hurt. Nobody visited me. I said, how many people have you visited yourself? Because if you were visiting people, if you see the harvest that will visit you, you can't live a selfish life. Nobody owes you anything. Care for people. Then, thirdly, disciple and nurture people. Pastor, I don't know much. That's what God says. I gave my servant's talents. To one, I gave one. To one, I gave two. To one, I gave five. You don't have five. Somebody else has more capacity. Your pastor may have five, but you have one. God expects that one to bring profit. And he that is faithful with little, more will be what? So stop waiting till you know more and start using what you know. It has to be. And then last but not the least, empower people. Number one, pray through intercessions and what? Supplications. Number two, care for people, love them genuinely. Number three, disciple them. That's where teaching and training comes in. And then the last but not the least, empower people. That's where we release the power of the Holy Ghost. After telling somebody live right, don't just give advice. Say, let us pray. Fire katosha, power of the Holy Ghost. Baptizing, infusing with strength, that's empowerment. After telling somebody how his finances should be different, how he should get this, call a few friends around. People in this, let's put money together. Let's help this person. Even if we seed money and start a little, let him start from this place. That's what is called what? Empowerment. Advice is cheap. Empowerment is sacrifice. Those who are shining stars in the spirit, in the kingdom, are men who empower men. Men who empower men. Anywhere you see God's generals, that's what their secret is. Anywhere you see a man flying, is because they empower people. The last but not the least, how you build the stones of Zion is to invest in the glory of the church. Last year, we were doing a project for this, and one of my daughters said she had been looking for a job. She has a business, was doing okay, and then suddenly she had an accident that took her out because she broke her leg and had to have surgery on her leg and couldn't move for a while. That took her out of business for a while. And her business was such that she needs to go to site, be at site, do a whole lot of things. And she was still starting. So she had not built the kind of company and system that could run without her. So it was as if she went back to ground zero. Little again, just to start, it was a struggle. When that opportunity came, he said one day she sat, pastor was sweating, the whole body sweat everywhere. That ACs we had then was just 2 horsepower. People we gather everywhere is full. People are, he just told God, he said, Father, I can't stand this. See how my pastor is sweating. Just give me, let me be one of those that will buy these ACs. I'll buy you one, 5 million, I'll buy. And she made that prayer, and suddenly, boom, the door opened. God gave her the business and tested her. Because people make vows and forget. She came here with her company dancing. He said, I came to fulfill my vow. Suddenly, before I knew, I meet this person in church, our company. He now has staff. They now have staff quarters. One of people working for me said it's working for her too. She will go to their staff quarters where they stay to be able to go to where the site where we're working. I say, Lord, this little girl, invest in the glory of the church. That God, if you raise me, nobody will mock your church. Don't wait for anybody. We have a freedom project going on. Why? The other side of the town, the other side of the city, is quite far from here. And we have to put a church there for people who are coming from there. So that we've had people, like, the distance is quite a distance. And a magnificent building that is going on there. One of my sons came and said, Pastor, he said, what's the bonus needs now? I said, we are on the roofing stage. The roof truss, both the materials and the construction, will take us some amount of money. And then the next thing is we are going to the finishings, okay? The plumbing, the electricals, plastering. Massive property, over 10 plus of land. So to just plaster the fence, to just fence it, took us tens of millions. To just fence. So to plaster the fence alone. Say, Pastor, I want to start bringing cement and I'll be dropping it. Can I? I know we need truckloads of cement. I say, yes. You don't even need to give money. When you get the cement, go there, you go and drop it there. Because that's the next place you are going to. Go and drop it there. And suddenly, boom, the doors opened. No, it is not Inenka. It's not out of, I heard a testimony. I now want to bribe God. It is those who love her stones. Do you take pleasure? There are people that the prosperity of unbelievers excite them, but the prosperity of believers attacks their creativity. If they see any pastor prosper, they attack him. If they see an unbeliever prosper, they hail the unbeliever. The believer, non-believer, an artist who just sings, shake your bum bum, shake your bum bum, can have a private jet. And they won't ever attack him. In fact, somebody can go to a reality TV where they do immorality, do everything, come out, and they say they have fans. On their birthday, their fans came and bought them a Range Rover 2026 model. They will begin to hail the person. Nobody attacks the person. And these are people, fans, for what value? If they hear that they bought a car, a church bought a car for the pastor, they attack the pastor. Is that instead of you people to build factory? That's the only time. Instead of you people to build anything that makes the church prosper, gets them angry. We know you. We know you are not among us. You are just hiding inside us, but you're not among us. We know you. How can the prosperity of your own family? Hey. Who wants people to visit your house and your house is unkept? Who will take pride that when people visit your house is magnificent? Why should you not think of God's house as a place that should be magnificent? Two things that makes the house glorious. Somebody say sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. And it manifests in two ways. Service. Thank God for these music ministers. Bless God for them. Do you people have all nights? Do you have practice? On Saturdays, you practice how many hours? 5 hours. Did they write it on your forehead when you were coming? They gave birth to you. Say, you must sing. Sacrifice. How will it be that they don't suck? That all of them just decide, no be me, kid, Jesus. I have my own business. Oh. I have my own life. Oh. Nobody should disturb me. Oh. I work even during the weekends. If all of them now come and they just meet on Sunday morning, let's hold our hands together. Just pray. Anoint and follow us. What you'll be hearing is here. Please don't mind my voice. Mind the lyrics. The Lord will move as we gather in the name of Jesus. If we have to pay these people, how much will the church pay them? That means there won't even be the money to do missions. Is that right? How much have we have to pay them? Then if you say we have to pay them, let's add everybody media too. Because there is no other work superior to another. Now let's ask those who sweep and clean. Let's ask everybody. There are people we pay. The people we pay as a church are those who are staff. That means they give up work in the secular world. Things and businesses they would have done full time, and they now give their full time to what? Those are the people we give. We pay. The church must pay them. But every volunteer we don't is called volunteer. If you go back to your business, you don't pay them. There are also people in contract we pay, because if they should have had 40 hours to work in a week, they give 20 to church, even though they don't work full time. But that reduces how much they could be doing for them, so church pays them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you understanding me? Service. What would happen if you came to church and nobody swept it yesterday? Don't all of us have the right to just come from our home? Don't we all? The people that are doing it, must they do it if not for selflessness? When last did you make sacrifices for others to be blessed in God's church? Where do you serve? How long has God invested in you that all that matters is just come to church, receive and go? Where are you putting your effort? Join a department, you write your name today, you attend meeting room, one, two, I don't have time for this. That means you do not treasure her stones. You must invest. Number two is giving. Christians don't just give to charity. They say Jesus was doing charity. Jesus didn't run parish. Was Jesus using generator to preach? One of our members told me, he said, Pastor, the money, Pastor, let us do this. I said, he's a businessman. Everything in his mind is business. I said, we are working on it. To hold 3 meetings in this church with this facility, just 3 meetings, the bill of the diesel is $1 million. 3 meetings, $1 million. Okay. So people tell you, do charity, do charity. So when you come and there is no gen, don't you know that the gen you are using is somebody's giving? The seat you are sitting is somebody's tithe. Every time you attack giving in God's church, what you're saying is, let the church starve. When the church has projects, may they not have money. May they only come here and let our pastor be raising money and be crying. That's wickedness. That you don't give to what feeds you, that you don't bless what blesses you. That the only thing you believe is go to church, get blessed, go and give only outside. What kind of mindset is that? One reality does not cancel another reality. The reality to honor our parents does not cancel the reality to take care of our families. So while you're giving to your parents, you must take care of your wife and your children. The reality to do that, the reality to give to the poor does not cancel out the reality that the things we see in the church needs funding, and that it is our giving to that work that funds it. That it doesn't just happen. You want a church that is fine, but you give only 100 naira in offering. So let's calculate your amount you have given for a whole year, 52 weeks, 5,200. Is it enough for jumbo shawarma? That's what you gave for a whole year. Then you now turn around, they are eating our money. Your money? Your money cannot even clear the gutter for a whole year. For a whole year. Sacrifice. And the same person will go outside and buy a ticket of 10,000 for a comedy show. The same person will take out his friends and spend 200,000 in a weekend drinking. You buy a car for 10 million. Oh, there is not even any good car for 10 million. You buy a car, let me start from 30 million. And then you come to church and put 5,000, 10,000 naira to dedicate the car. Then you go home and call your friends and use 300,000 to use to buy drinks. Don't you notice that where your treasure is? You are showing us where your treasure is. What is your priority? Sit down. Last but not the least, as we close. So say with me, speak glorious things of her only. Shall they speak glorious things of her only? Say, build up her stones. Number 3, the last but not the least, and then you stand. Put the interests of God's kingdom first. Put her interests first. That's how to love the gates of Zion. Put her interests first. Elijah. God told her, stand up from Brook Cherith. I want to send you to Zarephath, to a widow. A widow, not a king, not a rich man. A widow. I said, I have commanded her to sustain you. Elijah comes there and sees the widow putting up a stick to make some food. What food? He says, it's the last meal. There was famine everywhere. Last meal. Last meal. That she and her only son will eat. I want you to listen, because you're about to see something and die. No hope anywhere else. The man of God, Elijah, represents Zion, carrying the anointing of God. And Elijah said to her, give to me first, not second. Worldly wisdom says, old man, this is a woman, this is a child, they are more vulnerable, let them eat first. Worldly wisdom will say, Kai, let them eat first, I can stay, I'm a man. But God's system is different. God's system is me first, not me later. And why? Because you count and give God. Why he's telling you to give to him first is that when you put it in his hands, it won't be your last. When you put him first, you will never be the last. He said you will be the head and not the tail. You will be above only and not below. And when she gave to her first, she went to make the remaining and notice it has multiplied. In the night, she came back again. It's there. The more they take, and the Bible says it didn't end until what? The famine was over. It didn't stop. But you would think that's the miracle. That's not the real miracle. The real miracle God sent him there wasn't just to sustain her in famine. That's part one. When you think that the blessing of money, the blessing of promotion, the blessing of honor is the miracle. No, there are certain things you can have on your own naturally. Look at the miracle. One day, death struck that house. You could buy food with money, but you can't buy back a dead child with money. But because of her acceptance and putting God first and giving to the prophet first, the anointing was there and that child was raised from the dead. How much could she have paid for that? There are things God wants to do in your life when you are in obedience that money can't buy, connections can't deliver, your network cannot work it. Miracles that only the power of God can deliver. He said, when you are in trouble, you call me and I will answer you and deliver you. So in the order of things, this is how it works. Matthew 6:33. Stand on your feet. Give me the New Living Translation first. Hold that person by your side and pray in the spirit. The anointing of God is so strong in this place. If you are by the side of someone who is not on fire, change. Find another person and pray in the spirit. Welcome! A new chapter of favor has opened. A new chapter of lifting has opened. Levels are changing. Stories are being rewritten. Your new story will delete your past history. Your new story will delete the traumas of your past. Will delete the negativities of your past. Will delete the failures of your past. Don't worry. Where you failed is not where your story ended. Where you were barren is not where your story ended. That you were not married is not where your story ended. That you couldn't make anything out of your life is not where your story ended. That you were struggling is not where your story ended. That you rose and now you can't rise anymore. It's as if you're stagnant. Things are no longer moving. That's not where your story ended. Where people mocked you is not where your story ended. There is a new chapter opened. On the gallery, everywhere you are, don't let anybody fool you. There is an anointing in this place. The glory of the Lord is in this place. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you better read that scripture. 1, 2, go. Above what? Above all? When he says seek him first, above all else, it means there are other concerns you're still going to have. There are other passions you're going to have. But he said, let it be the greatest passion. The reason you've not seen and you've not maximized the fullness of the blessing, the reason some Christians are just picking crumbs, the miracles they testify of, I just listen to them. I say, oh God, if these people know that what they are testifying of are crumbs, there is a feast. Do you know the power of the anointing? You're in your room and the Lord says, calls you by your name, ask what you want. How much can you pay for that? God appeared to Solomon and said, ask whatever. Even when he look at his focus, give me wisdom and understanding and a wise heart to lead your people, these great people. Do you see his passion? The people of God. He said, these are your people. I'm a child. Give me wisdom. God said, you didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. Even if you said the father was rich, what about the life of his enemies? You didn't ask for long life. He said, what you ask, I give. Every time you seek God first, he doesn't just give you what you seek, which is the true riches, the anointing, now money come back. He now gives you what other men are seeking. He said, the one you didn't ask, I now give. Riches, long life, honor. He said, there will be no one as wise as you. And what's the reason? The only one was as rich as him. He said, and if you keep my commandments like your father, I will give you long life. How much can you pay for long life? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live
right.
And he will give you. Give me the GNT first. Read to your neighbor. One, to go. He will provide you with all this. All this. He didn't say, you will still go to work. You will still have plans for your work. You will still be passionate. But if your passion for business is greater than passion for kingdom, you missed it. If your passion for relationship with others is greater than passion for kingdom, every time you see people, you want a friend. You have never desired disciples. Father, let me have spiritual children. Everybody is emotion. Once you see, I'm in love. Everybody is, let me connect. Everybody, and it's not wrong. But if that passion is greater, God didn't say you shouldn't have the passion, have it. But let the passion for God's kingdom be greater. He said, I will give you everything else. Carry God's kingdom for head. Zion on my mind. Zion on my mind. I set my love on God's house. CEV, the last one. Read, one to go. But more than put. Do you imagine God? Look at his formula. Give me tithe. Take the 90. What God ever asked? He said, my yoke is. Give me 1 hour. Can't you keep watch? Take the rest 23 hours. People will still collect that 1 hour. They wake up in the morning and start pressing their phone. Even inside church on Sabbath, where they are worshiping God, they are posting of their business. Some will even go to the back where they can have time and be posting and designing and mentioning our company will do this tomorrow inside church. Oh, onye meregi this thing. Onye meregi, eri go geri, but you don't know. May you hear the word and return. May you repent because God is for you. He wants to set you above all nations. The miracles you've seen, The successes you've seen in your own mind is nothing compared to what is about to happen. A new chapter opens in your life. Put God's word first and do what He, then the other things will be. If you receive this word and you're entering into your new, lift your right hand, say, I enter into my new. Say, I break forth in favor, in power, in light, with glory. Say, I break forth with abundance on every side. If you believe and receive it, shout your loudest, amen. Let the most blessed give the highest praise. Have your seat in God's presence. Thank you, Father, for what you've done here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us how to love the gates of Zion. Now I pray and release the power of God upon every one of us. Whatever prayer life that was dead, be revived. Whatever had dried up your passion and distracted you from knowing the Lord, to go after knowing the Lord, today is destroyed. May the Spirit of the Lord stir up your passion for Him, for His word, for His people, for His house, in the name of Jesus. Receive grace abundantly now in Jesus' name. Shout your loudest, amen.